Is the learning in your school competency-based? Is it personalized? Is it happening anytime, anywhere? Is it student-owned? In other words, is the learning student-centered? And are all students learning more deeply, more equitably, and becoming career and college ready? If you have these questions, want to know what the research says about them, and are trying to figure out how to implement these ideas in your classrooms and schools, you've come to the right place. Thank you for listening to the Student-Centered Learning Podcast. I'm your host, Arthur Barriff, and I've been a principal and teacher in student-centered schools for over 17 years, and I can't wait to share a story or interview that will help you help your students.
Hi, this is Jennifer Bandy. I'm a student at Providence College, and today I will be interviewing Kente Howie, a second grade teacher at Martin Luther King, but I will let him introduce himself.
Hi, my name is Kente Howie, and she just had introduced me. I am a second grade teacher at Martin Luther King. I've been a teacher there for a couple of years now. I started out in kindergarten, and I just moved to second grade this year.
That is awesome. So, Kente, today we're just going to talk about how your teaching strategies are in your classroom and what you implement in your classroom. So, tell me about your students.
So, in terms of my students, I have a pretty diverse class. I would say that a majority of my class, as of right now, is of color, which is really great. I also have a diverse set of learners. There are some students who are in my class that have IEPs. I do have some English language learners in my classroom, too. So it is quite a fun time in my classroom, having to work with all these diverse populations and diverse students.
That is awesome. How long have you been teaching there? You said that you were once a kindergarten teacher, so now you're second grade?
I've been teaching there for about 3 years. I started 3 years ago with kindergarten. I stayed with kindergarten for 2 years, and this year I decided to move up to the second grade.
That is awesome. That is great. So today we're just going to basically talk about how you help your students with student-centered teaching and what strategies you use to implement getting a better student achievement with your students.
Absolutely.
Cool. So I have a couple of questions. So how do you meet the needs of your diverse learners?
So in terms of my diverse learners, I diversify my instruction to be able to meet each individual student need. This helps my students to process what they do and do not know. So one of the strategies that I use is differentiated instruction, which is helpful to meeting those various reading levels, learning preferences, especially for students that I have that had IEPs and that are ELL students. So it helps to be able to reach them and make sure that I'm actually impacting all of my students, and at the same time, I'm keeping their interest levels, and I'm making sure that I'm giving them activities that are meaningful to them and that impact them at a personal level.
So can you give me an example of one of your activities that you may use in your classroom?
So a great example of an activity I recently just did, I just made it up on the spot. I was teaching my students a little bit about shapes, and we were going over flat shapes versus 3D shapes, and I wanted to do some movement. So I had some of my students lie down on the floor and actually create the shapes with their bodies, and had other students try to identify those shapes, just so that they can, one, be using their body as a way of learning, to help them with those types of concepts, especially with shapes in this type of years.
That is awesome. So you like to group your students so that they are able to learn from each other?
Absolutely, yes. I am very big on student-centered learning. I mean, I do use other forms of teaching strategies, but I do like it when my students are able to direct their own learning on their own.
That is awesome. Great. So a couple of other learning strategies that you might have developed for your students, maybe in the terms of reading, what are some of the things that I know second graders have a hard time comprehending what they're reading? So how do you help them to understand their reading?
Well, we usually do a lot of reading circles. So what I will do is that, because I do have a guided reading system in my class that is based on levels and letters, so there are students who range from, we'll say, because of second grade, they start at level C or D, and then I have students that go up to levels K, which is really advanced type of reading. So what I do is that I group the students who are closest together in those levels together, and they will read the same material in these circles. And it will help them be able to, one, master reading a little bit more fluently and help them comprehend. At the same time, they work together to answer a set of questions, very simple questions on the reading that they have with that. And sometimes I'll work with them depending on the day. So sometimes I'll work with a certain group, and other days I'll work with another group to make sure that they're actually getting the material and understanding what they're doing.
Awesome. So do you give your students like guided questions so they understand the lesson?
Exactly. These guided questions are mostly open-ended to see what their take on it is. And this is the first time they're really getting exposed to open-ended questions. So it's a little bit more difficult to get them to move from yes and no answers, but it helps them to be able to really comprehend what they're reading in that sense.
Oh, good. So second graders you're basically giving them like open-ended questions so they're able to understand the reading?
Exactly. Just so that they can be able to, at the same time, the open-ended questions helps them learn discussion skills too. Because at the end of them answering their questions, I have them sharing questions with their classmates and with their friends. So it's not just to help them understand their own reading, but it helps them understand their own thoughts.
That's great. Do you have any charts in your classroom so that students can visibly see what's happening, you know, and they can understand, like, by looking at something visibly? I know second graders have a hard time keeping their attention.
I do use anchor charts throughout the classroom. I have them so that they can make thinking visible to students to remind them of the prior learning that we've done. So if we have a unit that talks a little bit about friendship, as an example, if we had that as a topic, we will have those charts all over, mm-hmm. so that when we go on to another topic, they can look back on that and say, oh, remember when we did this unit a couple of months ago, and they can look right at that. So that's one of the things that I do use. I do use anchor charts in my classroom.
That is great. So you base that knowledge on their prior knowledge.
Exactly. So, and build scaffolding through that too.
Oh, that's wonderful. So what do you use to raise student achievement?
So my classroom in particular is a dynamic learning environment, and it focuses on impacting that student achievement. As a teacher, I like to use developmentally appropriate practices that influence and raise student learning outcomes. So I make sure that all my lessons are in accordance with our state standards, but at the same time, I kind of tweak them a little bit as a way to make sure they get more impact from them. I make my lessons really fun. I do a lot of observation to my students so that I can also be able to understand if they know what they can do and where I can move on to that, and use theories like the zone of proximal development to see how far I can push them. So that really encompasses my teaching, is that form of assessment.
That is great. So assessments, can you give me just a overview of some assessments you may do to check your students' learning?
So there's three different types of assessments. There's formative, there's summative, and there's informal. I like to use formative and informal assessments a lot because it gets them thinking. It's the same principle of not using closed-ended questions. They're more open-ended, and they really get students to really think about what they're trying to say and what they're working on, and it helps them build those comprehension skills. I like using informal assessments also because I can observe them and take notes on each individual student as I walk around my classroom. I really try to stay away from summative assessments, which are those assessments that happen at the end of the unit, like big exams or chapter tests or written reports. I don't really like those, especially because research shows that now our elementary school kids have more anxiety than it has been in past years. And summative assessments are usually the cause of some of those anxieties. So I try not to really use those, but I like to use big projects that they work on and we work through together throughout the unit. And so if I do use a summative assessment, it's usually a project rather than a chapter test. But sometimes I do chapter tests and exams, but not often.
Great. So how do you give students ownership in your classroom?
Well, one way that I give students ownership in my classroom is that I have a choice board. I also have a job board, And the job board, one, helps students, one, take ownership of the classroom. So there's students that I had that clean the classroom, there's students that I had that wipe all of my whiteboards. There are students who make sure that they pick up things off the floor at the end of the day when we're about to go outside or wherever we're about to do anything. With my choice board, it allows my students to be able to have a choice on what activities they do in addition with their jobs. So they can go to any different type of centers that I have, whether it's a science center or a reading center, and they have a choice of what they do in those centers at the same time.
That is great. So when they have a choice, where, how long do they, so is this done at the end of the class or is this done?
My choice board, so I do my choice boards at the end of the day as a way to give my students, one, a choice of something fun that they want to do, but at the same time, it's also an assessment to see of what they actually learned at the end of the day. So these choices could be any variety of different activities or a variety of different centers that I have already set up in the morning so that they could be able to do those types of things in the afternoon.
That is excellent. So I know in second grade, you'd like to get feedback just to see how your students are learning. How do you do feedback for second graders? I'm just not familiar with that.
So there's a variety of different strategies that teachers use to get feedback. What I normally do to give feedback to my students is that depending on the week, I do it every 2 weeks, I will sit down with them and we'll go over their goals. At the beginning of every quarter, I set some goals with each student, and throughout the entirety of the day, I actually have the student come to my desk, and we'll sit down and we'll talk a little bit about how things are going in the class, so I can make sure they're okay. At the same time, I'm able to give them feedback on something that they're working on based on the grades or the assessments that I've done before. So that's a way that I get feedback. But other teachers do feedback in a variety of different ways and strategies.
That is excellent. So it sounds like you really collaborate. There's a lot of collaboration in your classroom. It sounds like the students really are getting great assessments. There's student ownership in the classroom and there's wonderful feedback. Is there anything else you would like to add about your classroom?
I mean, one thing that I would like to add about my classroom is that the one really nice thing is that all my students are able to learn. And they have that capacity to learn anything. And even though I have students who struggle through the use of these various strategies, through formative and informal assessments, and through the feedback, and through my activities, I'm able to make sure that I'm reinforcing and scaffolding their learning all the time. And it's done automatically. So there's no extra stress put on me because it's just an automatic thing at this point. And so that's one of the really cool things that I do like about my classroom is that I do have this diverse set of learners that I'm always working with, and I'm always trying to find new strategies to make sure that they're doing better in their classes.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you doing this interview with me, and you have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you again for listening to the Student Centered Learning Podcast. Let us know what you think about this episode or what you tried in your school by commenting on our Facebook page. You can also subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, and please leave a rating so others can find us. You can also follow us on Twitter at STUCNTR Podcast. And remember, students learn deeply when they are at the center.